You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome into the DNVR Rams podcast presented by Natures of Colorado, the Northeastern Colorado dispensary providing top quality cannabis and a wide variety of products. Remember to use the code DNVR online or mention DNVR in store or in drive-thru. I was able to catch up with my good friend Will Darkey. He is the founder of CBB Uncharted on Instagram. Great account to follow, great way to keep up with all things college basketball on a national level. We had Will on about a week and a half ago. If you don't remember, he is a CU alumni. Boo, I know. But he's a great dude. Really knows his shit when it comes to college basketball. And he really has become a pretty big Mountain West fan. And, you know, honestly, like a CSU Isaiah Stevens fan. So it was fun to chop it up with him. We kind of went back and forth just on how the Rams were able to handle the emotion of suffering that collapse up in Laramie. And how impressive it was that they were able to turn around and follow it up with a big win against SDSU. We debated whether you would rather be an 8-9 seed and potentially have to get squared up with a 1 if you win, or would you rather be like a 13 seed and, you know, you have to beat a 4 seed in the first round, but maybe the second round matchup's a little bit more favorable. We talked to Duke, UNC, Utah State, San Diego State, the Mountain West race as a whole, all kinds of stuff. It was a really fun interview, and I think you guys are going to enjoy it a lot. Real quick, before we get to that interview, I have just a couple of keys for CSU men's basketball. They've got a big one on the road against Fresno State Saturday night. Fresno currently ranked 198th in KenPom. They are 218th in net. They are 6-4 at home, though, and really should be 7-3 if they wouldn't have let it slip away against Boise State. Some keys for CSU. Fresno averages about 14 turnovers per game, so you're hoping to be able to create some extra possessions that way. Attack in transition, get out in the fast break the way they were able to against San Diego State. Another key, you want to stop their presence in the paint, very similarly to how you did against San Diego State. I always kind of feel like this program under Justin Hudson is basically like a Kroger San Diego State. They're big, they're physical, just not quite as talented, not quite as polished. 55% of their production comes in two-point form. So if you can keep them out of the paint, if you can stay out of foul trouble, they don't tend to be a team that lights it up from deep, although they are averaging a couple of more attempts from deep in conference play than they have as a whole on this season. They average about 23-point attempts per game on the year. It's been more like 22 in league play, which is right in the middle of the pack, basically right around where the entire conference averages. As far as the names to know, you really want to be able to limit Xavier Ducell. He's a Wyoming transfer. I just mentioned that they aren't typically a team that lights it up from deep, but he is a guy that has the ability to get hot in a hurry. Probably their most lethal shooter. And then their true point guard, Isaiah Hill, who's really taken his game to a new level this year. He's been great. Career high 6.5 assists per game. Another guy that can put it on the floor and beat you. But frankly, this is a matchup where you should have the talent advantage. This is a really crucial opportunity for the Rams to get their first road win in the conference slate. I do think with the way Wyoming is trending, that loss maybe doesn't look as bad from a metric standpoint. You're never going to be able to get over the way you lost it up 11 with under a minute to go. There's just no way to feel good about that. But they have been much more competitive. These are the games that you've got to win. You got to beat Fresno. You got to beat Air Force on the road. You've got to beat UNLV. If you could steal one against either San Diego State or New Mexico, that would be huge. But more than anything, just take care of business at home, steal a couple on the road, and you're going to be in a really good spot come Selection Sunday. All right, we're going to get to that interview with Will Darkey of CBB Uncharted. But with Empire Today, you get the shop-at-home convenience, the right product for your needs, quick and professional installation, and a price match guarantee. Empire Today is the best place to get new flooring, so of course they have copycats. But you can't beat Empire on quality, service, or speed. Other people advertise low-quality products that Empire won't even carry. They're not going to promise you the lowest prices because anybody that does that is putting flooring in your home that they wouldn't put in their own. Their philosophy is really simple. They want to help you find what you need, not overwhelm you with thousands of choices and substitutes. What they leave out of their selection is honestly as important as what they put in. Empire's product team exhaustively combs through thousands of product samples each year to find the perfect styles. Their virtual floor designer is a great way to see new home floors and how it will work in any space. It's easy, just snap a picture and instantly see how the new floors will look in your room. It's a lot of fun. I was doing it just for, you know, fun the other day, just kind of scrolling. I was bored. Schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can receive $350 off when they use the promo code DNVR. Restrictions do apply. See empiretoday.com/DNVR for details. Again, that's empiretoday.com/DNVR and use that code DNVR to get a $350 discount. Natures of Colorado provides an amazing grade of cannabis and a vast variety of products. Check them out for all your needs, including infused edibles, high-potency concentrates, some of the best flower in the state. There are four Natures of Colorado locations in Colorado: Log Lane Village, Garden City, Sedgwick, and Milliken. They are the go-to dispo out in northern Colorado, northeastern Colorado. Remember to save time by ordering ahead at naturescolorado.com. Stay cozy when you pick up. You don't even have to get out of your car. All of their locations have drive-thrus. Visit a location, mention our code DNVR to take advantage of these Natures of Colorado deals. You can get a $99 ounce every day anyways, but when you use that code DNVR, you can get a full ounce of any shelf for $85. You can't beat that. Get an exquisite extracts 2-gram bucket for $15. Killer deals all around. Remember to use that code DNVR online or mention DNVR in stores. All right, joining me on the podcast, we've got friend of the pod, Will Darkey, founder of CBB Uncharted on Instagram. Go give it a follow. Great way to keep up with all things national college basketball. Will is a buff, but he is a massive college hoops aficionado, follows the Mountain West very closely. One of the guys I love having on this pod most to talk about hoops, but I guess just what's your impression of CSU right now, Will? Because obviously they had just a horrific collapse in Wyoming. I mean, it's about as frustrating as it gets. 72 hours later, you know, you turn around, you beat a really good San Diego State team with one of CSU's better performances of the season. I don't know. What's your read on this Rams team right now?
I think the Wyoming loss could have been detrimental. It was so like catastrophically bad of a collapse that it could have been like a, okay, are we really just not that team? But it looked like they took that loss. They went, that was unacceptable. We are a much better team than this. And you kind of, I want to give you props because you brought it up in one of your pods. I think it was your like post game talking about the Wyoming game. You said, I wouldn't be surprised if CSU went out there and they like had a really strong showing against this San Diego State team. And that's exactly what they did. I think they really showed their maturity in the San Diego State game. They were able to rebound immediately 72 hours later. They got off to a hot start, which has been a little hit or miss as of late in conference play. And it was just, even when San Diego State kind of made that late second half push, I feel like that's where young teams could have been like, oh, damn, it's happening again. We've collapsed again. But like the veterans on that team took over, went, no, like we're in Moby. This is our home court. We're not letting this happen again. And they like had a really strong finish. And it was really reassuring to me to see like, okay, for how bad of a loss that was against Wyoming, that was a really, really good rebound by the Rams.
Yeah. I think you hit, you know, most of the major talking points on the head, just in terms of the response. And I'm right there with you. I thought the hot start was key, get some energy in the building. you know, get some confidence and then, you know, to be able to respond after San Diego State fights back. Because, you know, a veteran team like that's not going to lay down, you know, probably somewhat in the back of their minds as San Diego State's coming back. It's like, oh, God, is this going to happen again? But they immediately turn it around. Neek throws down a monster dunk. Crowd goes crazy and the Rams do a good job of closing it out. But I was really curious to see how they would respond. I expected them to respond the way that they did, but I'm right there with you. I think a less mature team, a less composed group, they could have let what happened in Laramie really just kind of compound and destroy this season. Like the reality is there just aren't any breaks in this schedule. That's the tough part. It wasn't like, you know, oh, you got to come home and play San Jose State or something. You were rewarded with a team coming off of a national championship appearance. I'm with you. I just felt like it was really reassuring. I don't think it's a loss that would have, like, you know, ended their NCAA tournament hopes or anything like that. But I also think it's a win that they just really needed to, in a simple sense, just get the vibes right again.
Oh, 100%. Not to like tie it back to CU football, but it really reminded me of the Stanford game that CU had in football this past year, where they were up big at half, had this historic collapse. And then like just the whole season from there was like just a landslide of like, okay, nothing's going right. Coaches are leaving, players. And so that's just, yeah, that's where I want to really, commend Nico and the team for, especially because with basketball, when it's football, it's one game each week. That's your main focus. And you've got like the whole week to kind of reset and replan. This was a pretty quick turnaround. Yeah, you were only in Wyoming, so it's just a quick drive up north and then you got to come back. It's not like a hop on a plane and go out to San Jose State or something, but it's still like a quick turnaround where you got to get out of your head, get your mind right. And San Diego State, they're like, I think in the Mountain West, they're like the furthest from like a rollover team because of their Final Four appearance, because of kind of just their stayed dominance in this conference for so long now. Brian Dutcher is just such a well-respected coach, just like gritty defense, like does kind of like all the tactical textbook things right. So that was not going to be an easy win. And I think it was like the perfect challenge the Rams needed to kind of maybe get some juice back in their system and give them some confidence. Like, okay, this stretch, like no game is easy in the Mountain West, but we still are those guys and we can be those guys if we show up night in and night out.
I like that they kind of had to grind it out too. Like San Diego State's obviously a really good team and I never would expect them to roll over. But I actually thought that was one of San Diego State's better road performances this season. I know they beat Gonzaga on the road, but they're a team whose shot making has been inconsistent. And Reese Waters came out and he had three threes in the first half. He hit some big time shots in that second half. Lamont Butler and Micah Parrish were able to stretch the floor a little bit. Ladie gets some putbacks. He's able to kind of, I mean, they held him to 13 points, which is about the best you can hope for because he's just a freak. But I kind of like that it wasn't a situation where San Diego State just played poorly. You beat a good team who gave you a really solid effort on both sides of the floor. I just think from a confidence standpoint, and like, I mean, this group, that they're so even keeled. I don't think they're the type to fall apart or anything like that. But I just think it's human nature, you know, just to have that reassurance of, oh, yeah, like this is us, the same group that beat Creighton, the same group that, you know, handled Washington. It was just huge, man. It's going to be interesting to see how they respond on Saturday night, because now you go against a frisky Fresno State team. There's no atmosphere there whatsoever. They just, nobody cares, unfortunately. It's a really stale environment. You're going to have to like kind of create that energy yourself. And, you know, Boise, they stumbled a little bit in Fresno. They got up big and then they kind of fell asleep at the wheel, let Fresno come back. Should have lost to them. They pulled it out in the end. I'm really interested to see like what the response is. You know, we just credited CSU so much for the way that they responded from, you know, this heartbreak. Now you got to carry it over though, you know, and get that elusive road win, because they're just, you're not going to have very many opportunities, Adam. And this feels like one they got to get.
100%. I don't want this to be a slight to Fresno State, but this game, it feels like somewhat of a non-conference game to me, where you don't have the typical atmosphere that you get at most Mountain West arenas. So if anything, it could feel like one of those neutral sites where it's like, okay, we're in this gym that's half full and we're playing at like somewhat of a weird hour. And I think while you're in the dog days of conference play, so you have to like lock in and be like, this is a conference game. I think you also can look back at your non-conference slate on this one and look at like where I'm forgetting. Was Creighton, was that in Kansas City?
Yeah, it was a neutral game. It was closer to a road environment just because like the fan turnout's 3-1 for them. But I mean, it's not like playing in Omaha.
Totally. And then like in Vegas playing Washington, I feel like it could be one of those games more where CSU, that's where CSU was finding their most success, because I think they were kind of on this like hungry, we don't get to play these teams as often. So they're not expecting us. So we can come out, play our game, play confidently. I'm not saying that they're not doing that in the Mountain West. I think
I think there's, I think that's human nature. You know, there's an element of like, we're going to show you something.
Yeah. Like when you get into the dog days of conference play, like you've seen all these teams before, and as much as you want to be like, oh, we're getting up for Fresno State, you've also like maybe played Fresno State before. Like Isaiah Stevens has played Fresno State many a times now. And so he's probably like, okay, it's Fresno State. Like, this is going to be a fun trip. The weather out there will probably be nice and we'll get the win. But I'm not saying that's Isaiah Stevens' mindset. I know he's a much smarter, greater leader than that, but you just don't want like the whole team to maybe take over like a mindset of it's just Fresno State. Like we beat San Diego State. Who's to say we can't go down and beat a worse SoCal team? So I don't know.
No, I'm with you. I mean, it's, they got to take care of business. It's not, if you're using the term must win, I think there needs to be do or dire consequences. Like it's your season's over if you don't win this. And that's just not the case. But at the same time, we know what this team can be and we know what the expectations are based on what we've seen. So to me, this is a situation where they need to go out and prove it, you know, like go out and execute. It doesn't have to be the flashiest thing in the world. At the end of the day, just get a win, no matter how you're able to do it. But I would like to see them kind of keep it rolling here. The offense has looked a little bit better these last couple of games. I mean, they're 15-1 this year when they score 75 points. Fresno gives up about 74. They score, you know, in like the high 60s. If you can score 75 points, this should be a game you win.
Yeah, that's a pretty damn good recipe to success. And it's not too tough to reach. If you've already done it in 16 games, it should be manageable. But again, just with that road environment, and it's not your typical road environment where it's hostile and maybe you can get up because it's like, oh, we're gonna shut up these fans. It's like you're going into like playing like a library where,
yeah, it's really got to be like that self-internalized motivation. We're doing exactly it for our own cause, you know?
Totally. And that's where, not to like go too off topic, but that's where I've been really impressed with a team like UConn in the Big East, because when they've been at home, it's just been like their place. But then you've seen like basically everywhere else this season, if you're a top 10 team going on the road, there's like a good chance you could get picked off, except for UConn. Like UConn's just been on this tear where like, it doesn't matter where we're playing, there's going to be 40 minutes of basketball and it's going to be our 40 minutes of basketball. And they're just like blowing teams out left and right. So I think CSU totally has like the maturity and the veteran leadership to like take that approach to the game. I'd hope that that is the approach they take, because I think you're coming off this high of beating San Diego State, but I think you could even come off like a bigger high going out to Fresno State and beating a team by like 25 in their own gym. I feel like that just shows like, okay, it's not just Moby that we're good in. We can also go on the road. We can play our brand of basketball, because that's what it is in March too. It's not true road games, but you're not in Moby. You got to go to a neutral site. So I think if you can you give yourself some like reassurance and build up some confidence outside of Fort Collins, I think that's huge too.
These next three games are really big for CSU. They go on the road. They've got Fresno on the road, obviously, this weekend. Then Boise comes Tuesday. That's a huge game in Fort Collins. And then they've got San Jose State Friday night at home. If you could rattle off, you know, like a three-game win streak, or four-game, I guess, since you're coming off the win over San Diego State, going into that trip to Viejas, all of a sudden, if you lose on the road at San Diego State, like, you still feel really good. Like, hey, we're 5-1 over our last six. We're playing great basketball. I mean, if you could somehow steal that one on the road at San Diego State after also winning these three, then all of a sudden the conversation of like, well, maybe you are back in that regular season Mountain West championship mix. We'll see. A lot of that's going to have to do with Utah State. Them being a full three games ahead is obviously a huge advantage for them. Any more thoughts on CSU before we kind of talk some Mountain West and just college basketball as a whole?
Yeah, I've got two quick points. I feel like one of them could probably lead into the Mountain West more as a whole. But the first one, I also want to give credit to CSU for beating San Diego State. You'll know the stat, and I can't remember it. But it was it the first win against them since 21? Like, they'd lost four straight?
They'd lost four straight, yeah. They lost three last year, and then they lost to them in Vegas in the Mountain West tournament the season before.
Yeah, so, like, as a CU fan, the Pac-12 was not, there were a lot of teams in the Pac-12 that were not kind to Colorado. I think Colorado entered the Pac-12 winless against USC in football, and they're going to leave winless. There's things like that where I think it builds up, like, mentally, where it's like, there's that team we've never beat. And while CSU has beat San Diego State, when you start to get in like a rut, you've also seen it with the Broncos, with the Raiders. They should have now beaten the Raiders, but we're going on how many years. But I think, coming off the Wyoming loss, going into a game against a team that's had your number for the last couple matchups, I think that is also a huge boost. So that's my first point. And then the second point, where you were talking about how if you can win these next three, then going into Viejas doesn't feel like a must win. While I totally agree with that sentiment that you want to, like, come away 4-0, like, on this little streak, I think Rams fans can pump the brakes a bit on, like, our tournament chances are down the drain if we, like,
they're completely fine. I've been trying to say that to these people a lot, but it's just because you got so much excitement, and there you go from being like, I mean, they were almost being projected as a 3 seed at one point, very consistently a 4 or 5 seed. Now it's more like an 8-9 seed. But that's the point I've been trying to make, was they have one bad loss on their resume in terms of the NCAA tournament metrics, and that's Wyoming. And with the way they're trending, that might end up being like a Q2 loss when it's all said and done.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at Joe Lenardi's bracketology right now. That when did this come out? It came out this morning, and he has CSU projected as a 7 seed right now, playing Texas A&M in the first round in a 7-10 matchup. So, and then you look at, like, yeah, you look at the net, and CSU is 7-4 in the first two quadrants. Like, that is impeccable. Like, if you're a CSU fan, and if someone, like, before the season tells you, like, yeah, through 11 games and, like, through 11 quad one and two opportunities, you're going to be 7-4, you should take that, like, 10 times out of 10. And so I totally understand the, like, I want to win every game. And especially when you're in conference play, you want to, like you've been saying, you want to see the Rams win a regular season title for the first time. But I also think, like, the larger marathon picture of it, where you're, like, you're trying to play to the beginning of April, CSU is totally, in my opinion, they're still, like, totally in a fine spot. And I think with the maturity on their team, their best basketball still hasn't been played yet, if they don't want it to have been played. So,
well said, man. That was nice. I couldn't have done that better myself. I do have a question for you, though, just in terms of, I mean, this is obviously, it's all matchup dependent, and so much of your success in the NCAA tournament can kind of come down to that. Like, did you get that favorable draw in the opening round to get the momentum rolling? Would you rather, though, be an 8 or 9 seed where if you win, you're very likely getting the one? In 2013, CSU, they beat Missouri. It's a lot of fun. They beat them in the opening round, rewarded with eventual national champion Louisville. I know that title got vacated technically, but we were all there. We remember it. Or would you rather be like a 13 seed and you have to beat a 4 off the bat, but you might, if you can get through that first round, the second and third round might be more favorable. It's such a conundrum. And like, obviously teams don't have any choice in this, but I'm just curious for you as a basketball fan, what position would you rather your team be in?
That is such a good question, because I've like racked my brain about this for years now, because like as a CU fan, whenever they've been in tourney talks, it has always hovered around that 8-9 range. And so then the whole thing with Tad Boyle is like not being able to get out of the first round or the first weekend. And it's usually because, oh, cool, you maybe beat the 9 seed or the 8 seed, and now you're going up against Kansas. And Kansas was maybe the number 1 overall seed, so they got to pick the region they're in. And now you're basically just in Lawrence, Kansas, in a different city. And the way that sometimes, I'm trying to remember what the exact matchup was, but when UMBC took down Virginia, yes, that was the 16-1, but then like they got to play the 8-9. That's like an extreme version, but I feel like you do see that kind of more often than not. Maybe not more often than not, but you'll see it from time to time where you get like the 13 beats the 4 and the 12 beats the 5 in the same region. So now out of nowhere, you've got a 12-13 second round matchup. And I feel like that's where you see, yeah, like a Loyola Chicago go on like a little tournament run, and these Cinderellas are created, and where it's tougher and there hasn't been as much success and history behind like an 8 or a 9 seed making a run. I think one of the best that did it was like Kentucky in 2013 or 2014, and that's a Coach Cal team. So it's also a little different, like once
it usually only happens when you get like a super underseeded 8 or like a team that had a ton of top end talent but underperformed, and then they just kind of figure it out late.
UNC a couple years ago too.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's tough because the lower the number is, like the prettier it is, like on the bracket. It's like, ooh, look at that. We got a 5 seed or we got an 8 seed. Like that's one of the better seeds that we've had in a couple years. But then it's like, okay, cool, you beat the 9 seed. Now you get UConn. And
exactly.
Like, well, the first game was fun. So there's some give and take where I'm a huge fan of the 12-5 game in favor of the 12s. That's just where it seems to be like the fun mid-majors always kind of fall, because maybe they're not good enough for an at-large bid, but they're kind of like the cream of the crop for the automatic qualifiers. And so that's where, if I'm being honest, I'd maybe take the 12-5 matchup, see if you can knock out the 5, and then see where we go from there.
What I have determined is that I hope CSU is higher than an 8 seed. You're hoping for like a 4 to a 7. 6-7 is the more realistic range. If you're going to get in that 8-9 range, I'd rather be a 12 or a 13. I just think it for their chances of making a run. I know they would have to beat a really good team. You're going to have to beat a really good team at some point if you're going to make a run anyways. It's going to be interesting. I will ask you this, though. If you were an 8-9 seed, who would be the one that you would most want to go? I mean, it's got to be Purdue based on perception, right?
Yeah, just based off of like you've seen it time and time again. I think like 3 of their last 4 tourney appearances, they've lost to double digit seeds. Like that's been their exit out of the tourney. So there is kind of that, is Zach Edey, is Matt Painter, like, are they made in March? And it so far, it doesn't really feel like that.
It's also hard to argue we want to play the National Player of the Year.
Oh, 100%. And that's where I think Fairleigh Dickinson last year also didn't get enough credit for being like the shortest team in the field to shut down the National Player of the Year, who was also like the tallest player in the field. That was one of the biggest tasks maybe any team has ever like faced and accomplished in sports. If like, just to be completely, maybe that's a hot take, but I don't know.
I don't think it is. I mean, we saw what he did just the other night to Northwestern. I mean, he drew like 30 fouls in that game, and Yeah. I understand Chris Collins' frustration, and I probably would have got tossed long before he did. But yeah, it's just going to be interesting. I don't know. UConn, I think you don't want any part of that. Houston's been a machine of late. I got to go just on perception, but also, I mean, that stuff can change. The Mountain West perception was they can't win in the tournament, and San Diego State goes to the national title game last year. So, you know, you can't win in March until you do. So I guess we'll see how that plays out. Before we get out of here,
I've actually got one question for you too.
Ooh, all right, hit me.
So with how CSU played Michigan, what was that 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Was that a 6-11 matchup?
It was.
Yeah. So let's say CSU like finishes out the year strong and climbs up. Like from right now, they're projected 7. Let's say they finish at a 6 and they get that 11 seed matchup again. What type of team would you want to see the Rams play? Would you want kind of that like frisky under the radar mid-major, or would you want a Michigan like the Rams got 2 years ago, where it's like, 2 years ago, they had Hunter Dickinson. So it's kind of like they've got the talent and the pieces, but they've been like too inconsistent to put it together.
I want a brand name because I think taking down a big school carries a lot of weight in the tournament. Whereas like if they beat a Drake or something, college basketball fans like us, we know that beating, you know, Drake is, that'd be a hell of an accomplishment. On a national level, just in terms of especially the casuals, and we know so many more people are tuned into March Madness that don't follow the entire process. I just think it carries more weight, like if you beat a Michigan or, you know, a SEC team or something like that, just in terms of the politics of it all, which is, you know, a lot of what this is. You know, it's a lot of opportunity to get some advertising for your school. I care much more about the hoops than I do like the optics or anything like that. But I guess if I had to pick, I think I'd rather see them take down a big school, because it feels good, you know, especially when you're a school like CSU. Like, you know, we hear the comments, you know, oh, little brother, mid-major, this, that. It, you know, when we can beat a team like Washington handedly, you know, when you can take down a Creighton, it feels good. All right, I don't mean to interrupt Will mid-thought, but we did have some technical difficulties, lost him for a brief second. It's all right, we hopped back into that conversation, and we will get right back into it momentarily. I got to tell you guys about our friends over at Breckenridge Brewery. Breck Brew has been with us really since the very beginning. I mean, they've been doing it for 33 years. It all comes down to their love and passion for making good beer. Some of my favorites include the Mountain Beach Sour. You can't go wrong with Avalanche Amber Ale. The Good Company hard seltzers are good when you are around Good Company. Check out the beer locator at breckbrew.com to find a brew near you. Fubo TV is the best way to watch 140-plus live channels of sports shows, movies, and news. You can stream live TV from any device, watch the most Colorado sports for the lowest price. And what's awesome is you can start watching immediately with a free trial. No contract, no cable, no hassle. Just sign up and start watching. You're going to get 1,000 hours of cloud DVR included at no extra charge. Guys, I'm telling you, Fubo is the truth. If I'm out of town, I can watch Altitude, keep up with the Nuggets. I have Altitude, which, you know, if you've been in this state the last couple of years, that is a struggle. It's the best way to watch CBS Sports Network, FS1, FS2, keep up with all the latest Mountain West action. Watch all your favorite college basketball and NFL action with Fubo. Go to www.fubotv.com/DNVR. That's www.fubotv.com/DNVR to sign up for 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. All right, we had some momentary tech issues, which made a natural pause for the break, but we're going to jump right back into that conversation with Will Darkey. He had asked me before the break if I would rather, as a CSU fan, beat a pesky mid-major, you know, quality basketball team, or be more like in the situation from 2 years ago where you're squaring off with a team like Michigan. I had mentioned that I thought beating a name brand meant a little bit more just in terms of optics. The mid-major I had thrown out was beating Drake, a quality team. I just said, you know, people that watch the game, they know what that would mean. But I don't know if you get the same props for it on a national level. Will was about to go into his take on the situation. So let's just get right back into it.
Yeah, I mean, I could not agree with you more, where once you get into March Madness, maybe the casual fans look at the optics, but there are some like really good teams hidden all throughout the bracket. I think Florida Atlantic last year is a team that everyone's like not expected. Like, I think I even was a little down on them and took them to lose in the first round. And then out of nowhere, they're in the Final Four. So there's teams that like make runs and are then like, hey, put respect on us. But I think if CSU were to beat a Drake, you wouldn't see Drake fans being like, oh, how did we even lose to a CSU? They'd just be like, hey, we're just happy to be here. That was a good game. Love March Madness. If you can like go and beat a Michigan, you then can go into like the subreddits or the Twitter pages of Michigan fans and see like, why are we losing to Colorado State of all programs? Like, we need to fire Juwan Howard. This is far overdue. And like, CSU was my last straw. And it's funny because while CSU is an incredibly respectable basketball program this year, you would see that like casual, more public outroar if you are able to take down a big brand, being the little brother, like you said, that CSU gets referenced as in the tourney.
Yeah, I mean, just for petty reasons, it would be a lot of fun. We got some of that even with Creighton this year, which was funny because CSU beat Creighton by double digits just 2 years ago. But some people were just like, oh, I can't believe we're losing to this team again. It was just, it cracked me up. We got a big weekend of college basketball coming up as a whole. There's some big Mountain West games. There's some big ACC games, Duke, UNC. That's always fun. Do you have a lean on that one? I know UNC coming off of the tough loss to Georgia Tech, but I still feel like going into that, man, they were playing as good as anybody in the country.
Yeah, I think I lean UNC. UNC reminds me of CSU just in the top pieces on the team are so like old with chemistry, veteran leadership. You've got Armando Bacot and RJ Davis. And I think they will walk out of that Georgia Tech game being like, that was one of the most unacceptable brands of basketball we played all year. Now we've got the people we could not hate more coming into our gym. And I think Duke probably makes it competitive just because the Duke UNC game always seems to be like a cinematic masterpiece. I love that game, but I think I lean UNC just with, I think they've been the better team this year and they should bring some fire from that bad loss they had earlier in the week. Cause you don't want to go 0-2 in a week, especially if one of those losses is your arch nemesis Duke.
Who's the best player on the floor in that matchup? Is it Filipowski? Is it RJ Davis?
I think I would have said Filipowski beginning of the year, because I thought the breakout, he's been good, but I don't think he's broken out as crazy as I thought he would have in his second year. I think I'd lean RJ Davis. He's been so consistently good. And I think before when Caleb Love was there, he kind of was maybe in the shadow of Caleb Love chucking up 30 shots a game. And now he's kind of like, okay, this is my backcourt. I can kind of drive where everything goes, where the ball's moving, when I want to get my shots up. And I think because of the level of player he is, it's just paid off in dividends for this Tar Heel team. Outside of that Georgia Tech loss they just suffered, they had been one of the strongest teams. They were the longest Power Six team to go undefeated through conference play. So I think that Georgia Tech loss, you can't look too much into. I think it was a blip. And I think the sole reason because of their dominance has been RJ Davis. So I'd probably lean him as the best player.
I've always leaned Tar Heel Blue in that rivalry. My middle school basketball team was the Tar Heels. So I'm pretty sure that's the only reason why, but I just decided I like UNC. I like the colors. I like the uniforms. So I'll be pulling for UNC. I think that'll be a really fun one Saturday afternoon. The other one I'm looking forward to watching too, Utah State has to go to Viejas. So we got Great Osabor going up against Jaden Ledee, San Diego State. They need it. Utah State, if they can win this one, I mean, they, I won't say they've got the Mountain West wrapped up just because, I mean, any team could just immediately go on a 4-game losing streak with how tough this conference is. But I mean, sitting where they're at with only one league loss, having already beaten Boise on the road and UNLV, if you can go and take this one in the pit, man, you're sitting pretty.
Yeah. Are you seeing a line? Is there a lineup for that game yet? I haven't been able to find one. Yeah, I would be curious to see what they set that line at, if it would, with it being at San Diego State, I don't know if they're going to give them like 5 or 6 points, but this I think would be Utah State's like biggest test so far. And it's kind of what we were saying earlier about the Rams, where you would love to go to Viejas and get a win, but it's really okay if you don't. I think Utah State also has that mentality, but man, if they can walk out of that with a win, I think, yeah, they do start to separate themselves from this pack of chaos that is like the top half of the Mountain West.
Well, the other factor that's going to kind of be in play in some of these matchups is it's really going to help determine who wins Mountain West Player of the Year. You know, Ladie, he's been awesome this year, and most metrics favor him as like the most individually dominant player in the conference. But I mean, Neek and Isaiah were the best players on the floor in that game, and I think that game certainly helped Isaiah's cause. But if you're Utah State, if you beat, you know, San Diego State on the road after what you've already done, then, you know, great Osabor, he's going to have a pretty strong case, I think, for that Mountain West Player of the Year honor.
Oh, totally. I think if I just had to like toss out who I think would be Mountain West Player of the Year right now, I think I am giving it to Isaiah Stevens. Maybe, yeah, like all respect to Jaden Lindy, he's had just a monster season. But the one thing that I love that Isaiah Stevens is getting his flowers. Every time I turn on a CSU broadcast and he like makes a play, makes a nice pass or something, you'll hear the commentating team be like, that is the best. They'll say that is the best, if not one of the best guards in the entire country. And that's such a rarity to have in the Mountain West, specifically at Colorado State. And so I think he is the best player in the conference, and he hasn't done anything that like shouldn't have him be deserving of it still this year. So maybe it's
I'm obviously a little biased, just a little bit of a fan when it comes to Isaiah Stevens, but you're not going to find a more savvy point guard, and just his shot making over the last couple of years just gets better and better. Now he's such a lethal 3-point shooter. He's the best facilitator in the country. I don't know what you do with him. And if he can carve up a defense like San Diego State like that, there's really like no argument in a sense of like, there's no team that can shut him down. His worst stretch, he was shooting in these last couple of losses, he was like 30% field goal, which for him is not great. But he had 19 assists over those two games and should have had like 24 if a couple of guys hit some more open jump shots. And on top of that, 4 or 5 of the misses were in overtime after you have heavy legs. So like, if you take that away, it's like 36% from the floor over a 2-game stretch with almost 20 assists, and you still scored double figures in both games. He's just insane. Like I hope, and I think most of them do, but I really hope Ram fans recognize just how unique of a player he is at this level.
Oh yeah. And just to like kind of, I guess, put the cherry on top of what you're saying, how savvy he is, where he can realize, okay, maybe it's not my night shooting, or maybe I've hit a little slump, so now I'll just turn into assist demigod, and I'll find other ways down the floor to get my team set up for some easy baskets. And it's just, he really is a special guard. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, even though I'm a Buff, I think I might be a little biased because I do catch myself watching a lot of Rams games, and he's so good.
If you're a fan of quality basketball, both CU and CSU are worth watching. Like, there's a lot of talent between those two teams. Cody Williams is going to be a lottery pick. I mean, KJ Simpson, I was shocked he wasn't a finalist for the Bob Cousy Award along with Isaiah Stevens. To me, that's asinine. Like, I'm a CSU guy. if somebody tried to argue with me that KJ Simpson isn't one of the 10 best point guards in the country, I'd laugh in their face. So it's just, it's really fun. I know that the rivalry can make it hostile, but I always feel like, especially on the basketball side, like, yes, if you're CU, you want to beat CSU. If you're CSU, you want to beat CU. But in a 30-game schedule, it's not like the loss factors in quite as much. Both teams are quality basketball teams, so it's like, it's not like it hurts your resume, especially in a true road atmosphere. If you're CU, like, I'm kind of to the point where, instead of like turning this into an Embiid Jokic like really nasty, you know, just a stupid dialogue, I'm just like, these are two of the best point guards in America, and especially because the Pac-12 and Mountain West schedules work out, so I can watch them on different nights. It's like, you can watch two of the best point guards in America four nights a week in this state.
Yeah, it really is a gift that I'm trying not to take for granted right now, but
they're rare, yeah. Man. I hope people realize that, because like, I mean, you can feel it even with CSU. The non-Isaiah, non-Neek minutes are rough. Those two went off for 2 minutes against San Diego State, and it was a 10-0 Aztec run in 90 seconds. So like, you can feel the impact.
That one stat of, what was it? They scored or assisted on 27 of 28 field goals in that game. That is like mind-boggling. I mean, but then like, when you watch the game, it checks. Can kind of see how it played out. Yeah, but just love watching Isaiah, and also love just the blossoming of Neat Clifford into this role that he's got with the Rams now. It's so cool.
Before we go, I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to bring this up before we got out of here. I was just kind of glancing at some KenPom stuff this morning. Right now, Neat Clifford ranks 8th nationally in effective field goal percentage. He's 5th in true shooting percentage. He's 5th in three-point shooting. That's insane.
That is insane. If you would have given me like 10 chances to guess like where he fell in that, I still would have not even like come close to that number. I would have totally disrespected him and been like, oh, he's like top 100, and be like, no, okay, maybe top 75. If he's top 10 in those categories,
as a scorer is just, it's insane. And it's exactly what I thought would happen. And I'm excited. And it's not even like from a victory lap standpoint. I just like, I'm happy for him, because he's a guy who's always had the talent, and he's just never really been maximized. And that's for a variety of reasons. Like, it just wasn't a perfect fit in the system. He obviously has a lot more freedom here to like attack and put the ball on the floor. Don't have to be a guy that stands in the corner and shoots. But it's cool, man, to see like a Colorado kid to have this story, to really see him flourish. And like, at this point, I think he's going to be a first round pick.
Yeah, that's what I forget if I brought this up the last time I was on, but he is like one of the cool success stories of the transfer portal, because there's a lot of hostility with like the transfer portal's ruining sports because people are jumping in and out. And I do understand that. But then I also like looking at the personal stories of a Neat Clifford or a Dalton Connect, who have Dalton Connect, it was like he was doing these things at UNC, but he just wasn't getting like the name recognition for it. Gets to go to the SEC, play on ESPN most nights when Tennessee has games, and now he's a projected first round pick. Neat Clifford went to CU, wasn't really working out, couldn't find his rhythm there, is able to go to CSU, truly figure out who he is as a player and showcase it to the nation on a team where he's a big contributing factor and helping them become like nationally relevant, which then it creates this cycle of like, he's helping the Rams, who are helping him, which helps him more, if you know what I'm saying. And now, yeah, like you said, he's getting NBA draft stock hype and buzz. And it's just, I love it. And that's where, even though it is weird and there are some funky rules about the transfer portal, it's stories like those guys that makes me really like it for them.
It's one of the situations where it ends up the way it's intended to be, which has not really been the case with a lot of this stuff that the people complain about, transfer portal, you know, NIL was not supposed to be pay for play, but that's what it's become. You know, there's just a bunch of things we can whine about. Before we get out of here, Will, What's your read on this Buffs team right now? I mean, do you think they're really on the fringe in terms of where they're being forecasted? They're firmly on the bubble. I think.
Well, yeah. Looking
Washington at Washington State is like the last four in. They're the last four out right now. If you win that game, it probably flips, right?
Well, yeah. So, like, looking at Joe Lunardi's bubble right now, he's got Colorado as the last team in. Of the 68 teams in the field, they're going to be team number 68. Well, tech sort of, you can talk about how like the 16 seeds might be that, but, and they'd be facing Boise State in Dayton in the first four. As a CU fan, I hate that just because seeing what Boise State did at the Pit, what was that? Two nights ago. That was Boise State is a team that scares me. Then you look at Lunardi's also got Nebraska in the last four in. It's like, ooh, a little Nebraska Colorado basketball matchup. That could be fun, but I don't know. It is, as a Buffs basketball fan, I'm losing years with every game because yeah, it's like one good half of basketball gets you in the bubble. Then you have a bad half of basketball and now you're on the wrong side of the bubble. And it's going to be really fun to see how it plays out. I am not the biggest fan of CU's final stretch schedule. I think there's some tough road matchups, but I don't know. I think they have the potential. They definitely have the talent to make the tournament. It's just a matter of, can they put the run together? And I feel like there's some, it's tough because you can only do your schedule. And looking at some of the other teams around them on the bubble, they might have more quad one opportunities. So it really is just make sure like you keep your side of the street clean, do what you got to do, and hope that the teams around you also aren't doing as well. It's stressful, but that's why I love college basketball. I love the bubble.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at KenPom here, I mean, the only top 35 team that they play is Arizona for from here on out. So, I mean, I know that's not net, but you know, it'll be interesting to see just kind of what happens there. Offensively, they've come to life, man. They're shooting the three ball well. Like, that's what made that Washington State game so surprising to me. I know it's deceptively a tough place to play, and like that Washington State team is better than most people realize, but I don't know. I really had thought they had figured it out, you know, kind of going into that game.
Yeah, that was a little puzzling just to see the offensive output they had a couple nights ago or a couple nights before at Washington for, yeah, to kind of fall back down to earth. And I mean, it was sort of frustrating, but I don't know if it was as much like against CU, but more credit to Washington State.
To ask you, because they played well in that game. Like, I don't think the Buffs played terribly or anything like that. I just felt like their talent, like they clearly have more talent. And I felt like it should have kind of been the deciding factor in the end in a really tight game.
Yeah, there's times where it feels like there is a lot of talent on the floor, but maybe only one of them has got it going. I feel like it can maybe feel like that with the Rams too, where it's like,
oh,
okay,
yeah,
maybe
we've had multiple of those stretches. Yeah.
Kind of like you were saying, where it's like, okay, Neek and Isaiah go off the floor. Somebody step up, and then nobody steps up. And it's like, okay, that was fun. That was a fun little 10-0 run to watch. So I don't know. I mean, that's college basketball for you. There are just college kids at the end of the day. But I think the team still is trending in the right direction. I think to go to the Washington schools, come out of it 1-1, I think I would still take that. And I think they are trending in the right direction. You just don't want like a bad setback that then could cause a slump, kind of like we were talking about with CSU in the Wyoming game and not being able to rebound versus being able to rebound and maybe build a new win streak. So
how hot does Tad seat get if this team misses the tourney with potentially three NBA draft picks on it?
I personally think it should be really hot, but I just don't know because
I don't think he's going anywhere for the record, but I think the fan base will be very
flustered. So beloved by like Rick George, and he's just kind of like a staple of Colorado. He is like the most successful Colorado men's basketball coach in history. So it's tough when you've got that on your resume to then be like, all right, you're on the hot seat. But sometimes those tough decisions and those tough talks need to be had. And I think if they were to miss this year, the seat really needs to start heating up, because I really don't think there's been much of a hot seat. I think the seat's always just been like uncomfortable, but it's still cold. But it's like, why did we like not meet expectations? But I guess you're still safe, Tad. So I don't know. This is going to be a very pivotal month and a half for Tad Boyle and his, I think his long-term legacy with the Buffs. I think, like you said, he is safe from like this offseason, but I think it could heat the seat up.
This has been a blast, man. I appreciate you taking some time in your day to talk hoops with me. Always fun to talk with a fellow hoops head who gets into the ins and outs of the game. Make sure you guys go follow Will on Instagram at CBB Uncharted. All kinds of awesome content, talking all things across the country. I don't know how he does it, man. It's hard for me to just follow the Mountain West the way that I do. I don't know how you keep up with all this.
I'm too far in deep at this point. It's like an addiction, and the second I like pull myself out, I got to go right back in, and I love it. It's a lot, but I love it. So I don't know.
Thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate you.
Dude, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be here. Always a pleasure to talk hoops, like you said, with a fellow hoop head. So yeah, just thanks for having me.
Peaches out of Palisades, sweet as mama's marmalade. This shit sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. My mama slapped that bass, my sister sang these songs. Dancing under canopies, we thank the trees for all their leaves. We are just some drops of water, together make up seven seas. And one day I'll be like my father, one day I will learn to breathe. I'm choking on the thought that I am not the man I wanna be. I got blood on my shirt, like I wear my heart on my sleeve. She said I look good in red, but that went straight to my head. So now she's rocking my tees, tucked into new Prada jeans. And we ain't spoken a month, but I just saw her last week. The lipstick stain still on my cheek, like we ain't talk enough. And we always seem to laugh, but never nod at us. So the future's looking grim, it's kinda ominous. And this song ain't about love, that'd be too obvious. See, this is more about lust and all of my misconceptions. And this is more about me and all of my self-deception. I'll tell myself a lie 100 times, don't need corrections. But every night I pray to God, I hope I learn my lesson. And the peaches out from Palisade, and they sweet as mama's marmalade. And this should sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. And my mama slapped that bass, and my sister sang these songs. Dancing hand in hand, we were tripping to left feet, like a middle school slow dance. No one knew how to lead, but I'm still thankful for these days.